First Youth Pink is a not-for-profit ministry of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. Support us at ucdsm.org today.
We may give the skeptics their due. It's true. We have only a rather vague idea of when Jesus was born. We aren't sure what year it was. Scholars put the year of birth at between 4 BCE and 6 BCE, which means Christ was born 4 or 5 years before Christ. We also don't know what time of year it was. It wasn't until the year 336 that the church settled on December 25 as the date to celebrate Christ's Mass, Christmas. Before that, some traditions had it in November. Others put it in March. Basically, the early Christian community of the first three centuries of the Common Era simply didn't regard birthdays as very important, so they didn't bother very much to specify when it was. Whenever the birth may have happened, we have these two stories of Jesus' birth. One in the Gospel of Matthew and one in the Gospel of Luke, both of which were written around the year 80 or 90. The other two Gospels, Mark and John, make no mention of the circumstances of Jesus' birth. The usual story, as it lives in popular imagination today, is that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. But this is a misunderstanding of Luke's gospel. There was no inn and no stable, though there was a manger. At least Luke really did mean to say that there was. So I'm not saying that the story in the gospels is false or dubious. That's a different conversation. I'm saying the story as we learned it isn't what the gospels actually say and mean. The story is actually quite a bit closer to the one that Rachel P.A. Jones envisaged, as Heidi shared in our opening reading. For hundreds of years of English translations, we've been reading in the Gospel of Luke that there was no room in the inn. But the translations were off, and the inferences that readers drew have been off. And it's only in the last couple of years that an authorized and scholarly translation has come out that got it right. There was no room in the guest room. Let's look at how the English versions of Luke's story have unfolded. In 1611, 47 of the best Church of England scholars brought forth the King James Version of the Bible, the most influential work of English literature in English literature. Here's Luke, chapter 2, verse 7, in the 1611 King James Version. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's Luke, King James Version, also known to many of us as what Linus said. No room for them in the inn. That is such a familiar part of the story, isn't it? And then more than 2.5 centuries go by, and then in the 1880s, we get what was called the Revised Version. It was an authorized revision of the King James Version. The purpose of the Revised Version was to adapt the King James Version to the standards of biblical scholarship that had emerged in the 19th century. Then in 1901, the American Standard Version appeared, a revision of the Revised Version with American English particularly in mind. The American Standard Version also says, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The American Standard Version was further revised into the Revised Standard Version, which came out in 1952. This 1952 Revised Standard Version was commissioned by the National Council of Churches, and the translation team dug deep into available scholarship to update the 1901 American Standard Version. It was a major development in Bible studies. That 1952 Revised Standard Version changed no room to no place for them in the inn. But he was still imagining that Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth had something that could reasonably be called an inn. The Revised Standard Version was good for 37 years until in 1989, the New Revised Standard Version came out. The NRSV, also commissioned by the National Council of Churches, the most significant development in Bible studies in a generation and a half. When I started Divinity School in 2000, the New Revised Standard Version was only 11 years old, and there was still a little buzz of excitement about it. The 1989 NRSV was the first one in this sequence to drop the term swaddling clothes. It says, "She wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." And then finally, just in 2021, the New Revised Standard Version updated edition came out, the NRSV UE, available digitally in time for Christmas that year and in print in early 2022. In the NRSV UE, Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room." The guest room, it says. What happened to the inn? Well, what happened is that what New Testament scholars such as Kenneth Bailey have been saying for years is finally now reflected in a Bible translation. Point one, Bethlehem back then didn't have an inn. Bethlehem at the time was a small village. Best estimates put the population at about 2,000 to 3,000 people. Scholars say it did not have an inn, no place where strangers paid money for lodging. Point two, there was no stable. None of the Gospels in any translations mentions a stable. Luke says the babe was laid in a manger, and so centuries of readers imagined that the manger must have been in a stable, but actually the manger was in a house, as we shall see. No stable. Point three, Matthew says, switching to the other Gospel, Matthew says Jesus was in a house. The Matthew story tells about the Magi bringing gifts into the King James Version. "Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." In Matthew, the place is simply called the house. It's called that in the King James, gone down to the NRSV UE and all the versions in between. It's called a house because a house is what it would have been, not a stable or a barn. Matthew makes no mention of an inn at all, full or otherwise, and no mention of a manger. One, Bethlehem didn't have an inn. Two, no version in any translation mentions a stable. And three, Matthew says it was a house. So that gets us to four. The Greek word for inn appears in only in Luke. It appears twice in English versions of Luke, well, up until 2021, and now it appears only once. The remaining place that the word for inn appears is not in Luke's nativity story. You may remember it from the parable of the Good Samaritan, who helps a man injured by the road and takes him to an inn. But in the Samaritan story, the Greek word translated as inn is pandocheion. That's the Greek for a commercial inn. But in the nativity story, the word Luke uses is kataluma, and a kataluma is not a pandocheion. I don't know what those 47 scholars were thinking in 1611 when they created the King James Version, but the Greek words kataluma and pandocheion refer to very different things. Kataluma also appears toward the end of the Gospel of Mark, and there even the King James Version renders it as guest chamber. And ever since the 1952 Revised Standard Version, kataluma has been rendered as guest room everywhere in the Bible it appears, except, weirdly, in Luke's nativity story, where it kept being rendered as inn. But now that the NRSV UE has finally rendered kataluma as guest room, what Luke chapter 2, verse 7 is saying is that Jesus was born in a private home where the guest room was already full. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. The guest room would quite reasonably have been full because of all the out-of-town visitors showing up because of Caesar Augustus's order that every head of household return to his town of birth in order to be registered. So, why was a manger there? Point five. Traditional Middle Eastern peasant homes generally had two rooms, a side room for guests and a main room, as handily depicted for you on the cover of your order of service. The main room, the family room, had a small space blocked off at the end for a few animals the family might have, a cow, a donkey, maybe a few sheep. The family would bring their animals into the main room at night, and during the day the animals were outside, either tied or in a pen. So if there was no room in the guest room, then Mary and Joseph would stay in the main room, where the animals were blocked off at one end, and hence where a manger would be. Luke does mention a manger, but that manger would not have been in a stable. Point six. Mary and Joseph, coming from Nazareth, would have had relatives in Bethlehem. Every place in Israel would have had cousins or second or third cousins of Mary or Joseph or both. If they had to go to Bethlehem, they would have sought out relatives with whom to stay. That was the reality of that place and time. So point seven, no society known to us, none, would fail to help a young woman about to give birth, especially a traditional farming community. Nowhere in the world would a farm family tell a young couple, especially not one they were related to, "There's the barn, use it if you like, we can't be bothered with you." That just would not have happened. In Luke's story, shepherds come to visit the babe. Luke makes no mention of magi, just as Matthew makes no mention of shepherds. If those shepherds that Luke mentions had showed up and found a young mother with her first child in the middle of a stable, scared to death with no older women around to help her, the shepherds would have said, "This is outrageous. You come home with us. Our women will take care of you." But instead, the Gospel of Luke tells us that after showing honor to the child, the shepherds walked out, meaning that they were comfortable with how the community was taking care of their guests from Galilee. And so point eight, the usual story has it that Jesus was born the very night that Mary arrived in Bethlehem. But the Gospel of Luke actually says that some days passed while they were there in Bethlehem before Jesus was born. It's a small point, but even if we could somehow imagine grabbing emergency shelter because it was already after dark and Mary was going into labor, it's much harder, given the culture of the time, to imagine her staying there for some days before giving birth. Rachel Pia Jones, who provided today's opening reading, goes on to imagine the story this way. Quote, "Joseph, a man of courage and faith, realizes that his fiancée is in serious trouble. Legally, she could be stoned any day by the villagers because she's pregnant and not married. He's not required to bring Mary along to be counted in the census because she's a woman, but he decides to tie his name to hers and tie his reputation to hers and saves her life by taking her out of the village until the baby is born and emotions can simmer down. Quite possibly, Joseph's relatives had other distant family in the town for the census, so the upper room was occupied. This meant the couple had to sleep downstairs in the open living space where animals were kept at night for safety and where they ate from troughs dug into the earth at one end of the room. They maybe slept on mats or piles of blankets just as they would have upstairs. The room was warm, it was sheltered, probably filled with other traveling relatives." End quote. There is an inspiring story here. Not the usual one, but one worth remembering and retelling. It's a story of an ordinary community doing perfectly ordinary things as they were done for centuries before there were hospitals or medical professionals. a family, a community, came together to support a young mother and the new life that was born to her, that was born to all of them. There may, after all, be a message of salvation in this story of the birth of a baby. What saves us is sharing. What saves us is coming together in a time of need to be there for each other. What saves us is opening our hearts and hearths and welcoming new life among us. What saves us is love. And what brings forth salvation into this world is community. May it be so. Amen.